Yeah, the Wednesday edition of Mr. Relevant with you from the Gruber Law Offices One Call, That's All studio in downtown Milwaukee. I'm Alex Strofe. Primetime Wollersheim. Ryan Wollersheim stepping in for Tiny Hands today. He's back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Mr. Relevant, of course, presented by Door County Distillery. Locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made in beautiful Door County. I'm excited for today, man. I was talking to somebody yesterday. Wednesdays are always my favorite day of the week when we do Irrelevant, because Monday is usually like a recap of what was in the weekend. Friday is typically a preview of what's to come in the weekend, especially in football season. Wednesday is smack dab in the middle, man. This is what you're made of. This is really where you get to dive in and be a nerd and really like geek out about certain things. And today is one of those days, man, in the middle of May, where we get to geek out about Packers OTAs, the offseason training program underway. Pretty much everybody is there, from Jordan Love to Jair Alexander to all the in-betweens, obviously the rookies and the vets. This is the first time they get to come together. There's only three practices over the course of 3 weeks that are open to reporters. Yesterday was one of them, so Jason Wilde from Wilde & Tausch and the Wisconsin State Journal will join me in about 15 minutes to break down what he saw, what he heard in the locker room. Some of the big topics going around OTAs right now, obviously the rookie class, Jordan Love's impending contract extension, which he spoke about for the first time. We'll talk about in about 5 minutes. So a ton of really interesting stuff to dive into around the Packers as we're about 2 months out from training camp getting underway and about 3.5 months away from the season opener in Brazil against the Philadelphia Eagles. But you know what the roster is now. You know who your primetime players are. You know who your pieces are. This is a really important time of the year for this team to get going, and I'm ready to nerd out with Jason Wilde, which we'll do in about 15 minutes. But I do want to start with the NBA playoffs today, because game one of the conference finals series was last night on the Eastern Conference side. Boston Celtics, Indiana Pacers. Felt like it was the Celtics game to lose all game. And then third and fourth quarter, Pacers start revolting back. Tyrese Halliburton is shooting well, efficiently shooting, the Pacers were in the fourth quarter. They were well over 50% from the field for a majority of that fourth quarter. And then all of a sudden, they do their best Reggie Miller impression and choke away a lead. Back-to-back turnovers leading to back-to-back Celtics scores, including this score from Jaylen Brown toward the end of the fourth quarter when you got vintage Mike Breen on ESPN.
To get free, throwing in the corner, Brown fakes, fires up the three, bang, bang! Jaylen Brown knocks down the three to tie the game!
So Jaylen Brown ties the game with 5.7 seconds. Ultimately, it goes to overtime. The Celtics win. But Ryan was fascinated. Ryan Wollersheim back in the Everlight Solar Studios, fascinated that you didn't only get one bang from Mike Breen. You got a double bang from Mike Breen. Don't take that out of context.
Bang, bang.
Ryan, what excited you so much about the bang, bang from Mike Breen?
Well, first of all, Mike Breen's voice and his bang is already iconic, but he did the double bang. It's only the seventh time in his career he's done the double bang, actually. Strofe, did you know this?
Do you know if that's true?
An account on Twitter told me, and they showed all seven of his double bangs put back to back to back to back. So I believe it, honestly. The production value alone convinced me.
All right, fair enough. I guess I won't argue with that. What are the other double bangs that Mike Breen has had?
He had a few of them in there. There was a Knicks game, I think. Well, he is the Knicks play-by-play commentator, so I think there's a few, you know, regular season, Knicks games. I did not watch the full video. I only got the beginning because I wanted to include it in today's show, but I believe that it happened seven times. It was a minute and a half, so that would be kind of right, the right amount of time, right? 15 seconds each.
Yeah, that'd be right. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. I trust your slash the random account on Twitter's research. I'm not going to go ahead and research how many times Mike Breen said bang, bang. But hey, man, I said it on Monday's show. The NBA playoffs have over-delivered outside of our Bucks being knocked out in the first round. They have over-delivered in its entirety. For the sixth year in a row, you're going to have a new champion. For the fifth year in a row, the reigning champion was knocked out before the conference finals. Parity is so back in the NBA, and parity is fun. I'm sick of the hardos that want to sit in this chair looking at you, Ben Brust, and say, oh, dynasties make sports fun. They do. You've got one right now in the NFL. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. But in the NBA, we're done with the LeBrons. We're done with the Golden State Warriors. We're done with the Jordan Bulls. Right now is a time for parity. Parity is fun. When you look at the final four remaining in the NBA, the Celtics, the Pacers, the Mavericks, the Wolves, you've got young and upcoming stars that could really, really use a championship to bolster their resume long term. And the opportunities are endless right now. The Pacers looked a heck of a lot better on the road in game one than I anticipated. The Celtics with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, one of the better duos in the league, made a heck of a statement in overtime last night. Jaylen Brown getting a double bang from Mike Breen. On the Western Conference side, which starts tonight, 7:30 on TNT, Mavericks-Timberwolves. That's a really fun series. While I don't like the way that Thunder-Mavs ended, it's a really fun series. Luka and Kyrie taking on Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns. Of course, Mike Conley, one of the longest tenured players in the NBA on that Timberwolves squad as well, looking to get his first ring. I love these series. They're really, really fun. And I expect the Western Conference Finals one to be a little bit better than the Eastern, but Game 1 certainly provided with an overtime thriller in Boston last night. So I'm all in on the NBA playoffs, and I'm all in on the parity in the NBA right now. And last night, man, it delivered. Tonight, I'm hoping for more of the same. Anthony Edwards, man, I can't wait to watch his post-game press conference. F-bomb this, F-bomb that from Anthony Edwards. Can't wait to see it. All right, let's move on. OTA's underway in Green Bay. It started on Monday. Yesterday, the first of three, as I mentioned at the top, sessions throughout the course of the next couple weeks that will be open to the media, will be open for reporters to view and obviously talk to players and coaches afterward. A couple of takeaways from this. Hey, you got to compete for a starting job thing is real. Jordan Morgan not taking first team reps, which I don't know that he will come week one. We've said it all along since the drafting of Jordan Morgan, the offensive tackle out of Arizona, in the first round of the NFL draft. The Packers are comfortable with their starting five on the offensive line. From left to right, Rashid Walker, Elgton Jenkins, Josh Myers. At right guard, you likely have Sean Ryan with the departure of John Runyon. And then obviously at right tackle, although he's dealing with an injury right now, is Zach Tom. If those are your five opening day in Brazil against the Eagles, you're comfortable with that. So Jordan Morgan probably not going to get a ton of first-team reps, at least now. He probably will in training camp. That's okay. The safety side of things, Anthony Johnson Jr. was starting across from Xavier McKinney at safety. So that means Javon Bullard out of Georgia, the second-round pick, not getting first-team reps right away. That's okay. You can compete for your job, especially when you're a second-round pick. But I would imagine Bullard will be the safety next to Xavier McKinney come week one. But it's just keeping an eye on those guys and the way they are understanding, obviously, a new defense to them, but also a new defense to the vets in this scenario with Jeff Hafley as the new defensive coordinator. We probably won't see a ton in OTAs from this new defense, but we'll see a little bit. And come training camp, when you've got the full go 11-on-11, that's when you'll start seeing some flashes from this defense. But the rave reviews from some of the players talked to in the locker room after OTA's practice yesterday. I was listening to Keyshawn Nixon talk about Hafley. He did play in a similar defense his final season in Las Vegas, but he's comfortable. He's excited with what he's seen. And that's really all you can take away from OTAs. And if you want to take this away from OTAs, sure, I'll let you take it away. Jordan Love started the day 7-for-7. Throwing dots. As Joshy DiMaggio likes to say, pill slings from Jordan Love in OTAs. Now, again, I don't know how much that matters. I don't know that you could put a ton of stock into Jordan Love's OTA performance. But for him to be there is one note. Let's remember, Packers fans, where we were 2, 3, 4 years ago. We were in the midst of, like, this ongoing, what we all knew would end in a divorce. It's like your parents arguing on Christmas. Eventually, it's going to get there. You're just not quite there yet. Rodgers not showing up to OTAs. Yeah, that's concerning, and it was annoying, and you had to battle through the BS of Aaron Rodgers versus the Packers the last couple of years. You don't have to deal with that anymore. Jordan Love is here. He wants to be with his guys. He wants to get better. He wants to have this team in a better position than the divisional round, which they were in a year ago, his first year as the starter. He wants this team to be competing for a Super Bowl come February. and wants to be competing for the NFC North throughout the season. There's no "I'm better than this" crap from Jordan Love, despite the fact that right now he is in a contract dispute. And although he doesn't really want to talk about it. From Matt Schneidman of The Athletic on Twitter yesterday, here's what Jordan Love had to say about the upcoming contract negotiations between his camp and the Green Bay Packers.
Do you have an idea of like when you would like that done? Has your agent said you're not stepping on the field for a preseason game until you have a deal done or something like that?
No. So I don't really know what's going on, but we'll see. But yeah, I'm not going to get into too much contract stuff.
And he really didn't. Jordan Love didn't have a ton to say about his ongoing contract. We assume negotiations are happening, but he didn't have a ton to say. He just really didn't want to comment on it, which is fine, right? Like, I'm not checking his pockets. And to be real frank, his agents probably said, "Hey, don't say anything. Let's get as much leverage as we can." Because after Jared Goff inked a $53 million average annual value deal last week, I only view that as more leverage for Jordan Love when it comes to his negotiations with the Packers. And the golden rule in the NFL is simple. While the sample size is relatively small for Jordan Love, he played a full season. He was really good the second half, debatably 9, 10, 11 games. When you have a franchise quarterback, you lock him up. And by the way, given what the salary cap has shown us over the last few years in the NFL, that number is only going to go up. And quarterback's value is only going to go up. So if you can get him at $54 million a year right now, lock him up for 4 years, 5 years. And yeah, you're going to have to revisit that the final year. But if he's still making it happen, and if he has won a Super Bowl and an MVP at that point, which, by the way, I think is completely realistic given the trajectory of this Packers offense and a genius play caller in Matt LaFleur, yeah, he's going to be worth whatever the market value is in 3 or 4 years. I think this situation is much simpler, to go back to the divorce I was talking about, with Aaron Rodgers. A deal's going to be done. Jordan Love's going to get paid. He's going to be a top five, top seven paid quarterback in the NFL, as he should be. And then come week one, it's just about ball. And that's how it should be. I'm not freaking out about this. It's taking longer than maybe you'd like after you see a guy like Jared Goff sign an extension. But I'm not freaking out. Ryan, where are you at with Jordan Love impending contract extension? I assume you're probably with me. You're not freaking out about it?
I'm not too worried at this point. I mean, a couple of his quotes yesterday talking about that, you know, as of right now, he's prepared to, like, you know, finish out the training camp and, you know, possibly kind of leave it lingering out there that he could, you know, maybe sit out later on. I don't think either side has enough leverage for something not to happen this offseason. And I don't think there's any leverage for a possible holdout by Jordan Love. I think he needs kind of every little bit of, you know, goodwill. And not necessarily goodwill, but he needs to check every box possible to get as much money as possible. And being a great teammate is one of those boxes, especially when you're the quarterback. And maybe just by the merit of not being Aaron Rodgers, with your personality and how you handle yourself in the offseason helps a lot. So I'm not too worried about it. I put my worry level at like a 4 right now.
Okay, so that's honestly higher than me. Like, I anticipate this thing to drag out, but you're right. Like, I think your point on being a good teammate and a good leader is an important one. It goes back to something I said a lot last offseason when they drafted Sean Clifford out of Penn State and they didn't sign a veteran quarterback for a guy that was entering his first true season as a starter. Shoot, he was starting only his second career regular season game week one last year against the Bears, which, by the way, turned out pretty darn good for him. But all offseason, the question was, why haven't they signed a veteran? Why haven't they brought in some leadership in the quarterback room? It's as simple as this. They want Jordan Love to be the leader. And through about a year of doing so, I would say, as a Packers fan, he's done a pretty darn good job. He's done a really good job, actually. Leading that team to a 9-win season and a playoff win in his first year as a starter. For a team that had no expectations, was a huge check in his corner. And when it comes to the dollar sign, I guess I don't really care. I mean, obviously, I don't want them to way overpay, right? I don't want $62 million a year for Jordan Love. But overall, pay him whatever. Lock him up. Make him your long-term solution. Because as it seems right now, he is your long-term solution at the quarterback position. And that's a battle. When you look at the team to the south, Chicago's been fighting for 20 years. Cleveland's been fighting for 20 years. The New York Jets have been fighting for 20 years. Those are teams that can't get it right at the quarterback position. One thing that Green Bay always does is they get it right at the quarterback position. And seemingly they've done it again. So we'll see what Jason Wilde makes of this situation. I think it's a little bit overblown, to be real honest with you. I like that he's being asked about it because it is the biggest storyline of the Packers offseason, which is just crazy, right? This is my fourth offseason with ESPN Wisconsin. The first two were just completely dominated by Aaron Rodgers being flustered and upset with the Packers. In 2021, he had that scorched earth return to training camp press conference where he just was honest, and it was a great press conference. He was very honest and transparent about his frustrations with the Packers for like 35 minutes. Year two, he didn't show up to OTAs again, and then last year, ultimately, he was traded to the New York Jets. You don't have to deal with that anymore. You've got like this cool, calm, collected quarterback who's as savvy as heck and can just show up and play ball. And that's kind of what you want. No distractions. You don't have any with Jordan Love. So we'll see as this continues to go on. But I'm really intrigued to get Jason Wilde's opinion on the Love situation, but also all the different bullet points from OTAs, the first available practice to the media. What did Jason Wilde see? What stuck out to him? What did the rookies look like? I'm excited to get all of that information coming up next from Jason Wilde, who will join us in just a bit. But first, got to tell you about my friends at Door County Distillery. Locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in Door County. Everything they do it better than everybody else, man. They're local. They do a ton of local collaborations, whether it's in their cherry vodka, their cherry brandy. They've got I think it's up to like 21-time award-winning single malt whiskey. They've also got a bourbon and a rye whiskey. If you're making old fashions, whatever you're doing, right? They've got all apple brandy, cherry brandy, everything they do it great. And by the way, for Door County Distillery, right now on your screen, scan that QR code. It'll bring you to their website. Huge list of unique cocktail recipes. We even made some up when we were up in Door County last month. They're going to be adding to that list. Fantastic stuff. Scan that QR code. Check out DoorCountyDistillery.com for the retailer nearest you and that list of unique cocktail recipes. 1 minute timeout when we come back. Jason Wilde joins us to talk all things Packers, OTAs, and Jordan Love. That's next. It's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Strofe. I'm back at the legendary Door County Distillery with the legendary Beth.
Hi.
Nothing bigger right now than espresso martinis and confession.
I've never had one, Beth, so I think I need you to teach me how to make one.
It's real simple. With ours, we do our Java infusion, which is our coffee-infused spirit, our vodka, some chocolate sauce, and some coconut cream, so it's dairy-free for those who can't have lactose. We're going to start with 2.5 ounces of our Java, because this is a martini, so lots of booze.
Yes.
1.5 of our vodka, about 1/2 ounce of your chocolate syrup and your coconut cream, or cream if you prefer. Shake this for about 15 seconds.
She's a pro. I'd spill everywhere.
Strain that into our martini glass. There we go. Quick and easy espresso martini.
Time to try it. First ever espresso martinis. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, that's delicious. That's really good. I'm an espresso martini girly now. Yeah, no doubt.
Who isn't?
Check out their website with a huge list of unique cocktail recipes at DoorCountyDistillery.com. That's DoorCountyDistillery.com. Have it. Jason Wilde will join us in just a second to talk all things Packers, OTAs, and Jordan Love. I'm trying to think of like the other big notes from OTAs. I think one of the big ones was Christian Watson. He's a full go after battling all season last year with a hamstring injury. He visited a specialist at UW-Madison over the course of the offseason, and it seems like they feel very good about where Christian Watson is at. Which brings me back to something we talked about last week with Jim Rutledge on the program? And that was the number one wide receiver conversation, right? It feels like Super Bowl champions always truly have a real number one, right? Quarterbacks that win Super Bowls have their security blanket. For Brady, it was Gronkowski. For Mahomes, it's been Kelce. When Stafford and the Rams won it a few years ago, it was Cooper Kupp for them. So I'm just wondering if the Packers, and I do view their Super Bowl window as open, if they are going to make that next step and really be a team that competes for a Super Bowl in 2024, who's going to take that next step in the receiver room? And I think, and I saw when we ranked every position group in the NFC North from 1 to 4 on Monday's show, we posted that on YouTube, and the biggest comment I got from I think it was over 20 comments, was you're undervaluing how many good receivers the Packers have. Because I think I ranked them 3rd in the division. And I guess I get that opinion, but there's not a true number one, right? When you look in Detroit and Chicago and Minnesota, they've got a true number one, like a top 10 receiver in the league, where the Packers really have a bunch of really good number twos, which is fine. Because I don't think defenses can take a guy out of the game that way. But when it comes to Christian Watson, if he's fully healthy and if he's fully ready to go, you're in a great position. The way he takes a top off of defense, the way he opens things up for the Packers offense, I think is really crucial to what he's going to be able to do and what Jordan Love is going to be able to do. So if I was to put my money, let's say, and I know we did this poll earlier in the week on Kyle Bruston-Nortman, weekdays 2 to 5 in ESPN Wisconsin. If you had to put your money on a guy to be a 1,000-yard receiver in 2024 for the Packers, who'd it be? I would probably lean Watson if he's healthy. And if not, I'd probably go Dontayvion Wicks. That's where I'd put my money. I think those are the two guys in the wide receiver room for the Packers that seemingly have the best opportunity to do that, to like evolve into the true number one. Now, it seems last year, Love's security blanket was Romeo Doubs. And he's a name I haven't brought up yet. So the Packers wide receiver room is in a really good spot. But I'm curious to see if somebody is going to, who is it going to be that takes that next step? Curious what your opinion is on the ESPN Madison TikTok, ESPN Madison YouTube channel, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel. You can chime in the comments. Who do you think the receiver that takes that next step will be? I hope it's Christian Watson, and seemingly he's healthy. Joining us now, Mr. Irrelevant. He is a three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, working overtime, it seems, these days in the Wisconsin State Journal. You hear him weekdays 9 to noon on the ever-popular radio program Wilde and Tausch, and you hear him right now on Mr. Irrelevant. He is the great Jason Wilde. Joining me now, it looks like from a bedroom. You're not in your normal setup, Jason. Where are you? And there's a cat walking in front of the screen. What's happening?
Yeah, I'm in Maddie's bedroom. So we, as avid listeners, and I know we have a lot of Packers ground to cover, so we will get to that momentarily. But as many people know, we have six cats. One of them is AJ, who I call, I say that AJ stands for Arnold Jackwagon, because he's the one that has cost us a small fortune in veterinary bills. And so because he engages in self-destructive behavior, he is relegated to living in Maddie's room. And so every day I try to spend a little bit of time with him so he has human contact. We think he was abused as a kitten. We took him in. He doesn't know how to handle affection very well. So after you give him affection for a while, then it's almost, what was the line from The Karate Kid when he goes into the dojo of the Cobra Kai? Strike first, strike hard, no mercy, sir. He will attack, and so we're trying to work him out of that behavior. So I try to spend a little time with him every day. It's usually after Wilde and Tausch at some point. So AJ and I are coming to you live from Maddie's bedroom for Mr. Irrelevant.
Fascinating. It's good to have Arnold Jackwagon on the program. It's also good to have Jason Jackwagon on the program. Day one of OTAs yesterday, buddy. Or actually, day two of OTAs. Day one for the media. You remind me, it's 3 weeks of OTAs, but only three sessions are open to the media. I know you have a problem with that, but is my memory correct on that?
Yeah, I know your time is valuable, so I won't complain about it. But yeah, we get three practice. So okay. We got to see yesterday. We see next Wednesday, coming off of Memorial Day weekend, and then we've got one more the first week of June. Then we've got the mandatory minicamp, and then that's the extent of our off-season access. So I did register my complaint, but hey, I got to see football yesterday. I got to be in the locker room yesterday and talk to a bunch of guys. So you'll get no complaints for me about yesterday specifically.
All right, I'll take that. I do want to focus on yesterday specifically because you are much smarter than me, and you've been doing this as long as I've been alive, evaluating football, especially the Green Bay Packers. What popped out to you from the practice field yesterday, Jason? Obviously, Love starting 7-for-7. Did any of the rookies pop out the page? And I was just talking about Christian Watson, who seemingly is a full go. What popped out to you in your day one evaluation for Jason Wilde and OTAs?
Yeah, I don't want to criticize anyone else's work. I personally am not going to give out statistics when they're not even going full speed in 11 on 11 right
That's
now.
Fair.
They're the defense is learning the scheme. So I would say this, Jordan Love threw the ball accurately, but we already knew that he has gone from being an inaccurate passer early in his NFL career to being much more accurate. So he didn't look any different to me. Christian Watson was moving pretty well. Okay, Arnold, thank you for stopping by. But again, as we asked Matt LaFleur, and I asked the question late in the press conference about how different their offense is if Christian Watson is healthy, and I was listening to you while I was getting set up. You're exactly right. If you forced me to pick a number one receiver, Christian Watson is one and Dontavion Wicks is two. That is not a slight on Romeo Doubs. That is not a slight on Jaden Reed. I just think they're different type of wide receivers. And I think Christian Watson is a different type of than Dontavion Wicks. So if he is healthy, but as Matt LaFleur acknowledged to us, we'll see. Time will tell. We don't know yet. So that's part of the issue here is that was his trip to...
Uh-oh. For the- Lost Jason for a second. Now we got him back.
Yeah, I got a spam in the middle of that. So what the hell are we doing here, people? Don't spam call me. look, I'm busy doing a very popular internet-only digital program. But the bottom line is that we can't say for certain if Christian Watson is fully resolved this issue or not. Now, he told us yesterday that he's got asymmetry in his hamstrings. One hamstring is 20% stronger than the other, and that they believe that is the core issue with why he has his hamstring problem. So if that's the case, you know, he said that based on what the people at UW-Madison told him, that's a very large discrepancy. And so how do they get those numbers to get closer together, and what exactly do they do to make sure that he's going to stay healthy for a whole season? Because if he does, as Matt LaFleur said, their offense is different. He is a field-tilting player. And if that's going to be the case with him, then they like their chances with him being available. But if he's not, and they still haven't solved the riddle, then they've got more work to do, and they're going to have – eventually, these other guys are going to pass him by, right? He is a unicorn player that none of those other guys are like him. And Matt LaFleur also mentioned how bright he is, that they can line him up anywhere. Those are all great qualities that he has, but they don't do you a lick of good if he's only playing in 9 games. Last year he missed 3, then he missed 5. He was back for the playoffs, but I think he was basically there as a decoy. What, caught 2 passes across those 2 games? Like, it was a, hey, you got to respect this guy. He could take the top off your defense. But then again, he may not be able to run as well as he would if his hamstrings were in good shape.
Yeah, that's what I'm fascinated by, is Watson. And you and I are in total agreement. I think when it comes to Doubs and Reed and what they bring to this offense, it's just a little bit different than a true number one. And I think either Watson or Wicks, given health, can evolve into that true one for Jordan Love. So I that'll be one of the fascinating things for this Packers offense come the opener in Brazil. How about the rookies? I mean, obviously, this is the first time the rookies and the vets are getting together on the same practice field. Any of the rookies pop out to you? I know none of them, to my understanding, Jason, were taking first-team reps, which I'm fine with, obviously, here in mid-May.
Yeah, they did what they call two-spot, which is they had the veteran group at one end of the field doing 11-on-11, they had the rookies at the other end. So, like, at safety, lining up next to Xavier McKinney was Anthony Johnson Jr., who was a 7th-round pick a year ago. You know, when they ran their wide receivers, they actually had some of those guys that have been here before that were still taking part in the other spot with the rookies, just because they have so many guys, right? You know, look, I didn't see anybody do anything. These are shorts and helmets, so there's nothing to get super excited about. I did think it was interesting. You know, you look at those two linebackers that they drafted. To me, they're the ones that I have the biggest questions about. Are they going to be able to step in and play those positions? Are they going to be able to effectively stop the run with those two guys? I know Pete Doherty from the Press Gazette had asked a series of questions about, can you really stop the run with 230-pound linebackers? Well, you better be able to, because they all are lighter than they were when Pete and I started doing this. So, you know, there was nobody that I would say stood out from a rookie perspective. You know, I thought Michael Pratt, their rookie quarterback, you know, had some inconsistency when he was doing 11-on-11, which you would expect. You know, I'm really eager to see – on defense, all of those safeties get action in training camp. You know, Ketan Oladapo is not practicing. He had that toe surgery after breaking his toe at the combine. So him, Evan Williams, and Javon Bullard are the three guys that we'll all be watching in camp to see who earns that spot. Obviously, Bullard's draft status would give him the leg up on that. But, you know, there's a long way to go. It was one practice. There was a lot to watch, especially when they're at two different locations. My biggest issue with practice yesterday was from the angle I was sitting at or standing at, it was hard for me to tell which kicks Greg Joseph and Anders Carlson made and which ones they missed. So I know there were a couple that were missed by both of them. So it was not, you know, it's going to be a long process. It was one day. To me, it was more important to talk to Jordan Love than even draw any conclusions about how he looked, and more important to talk to Christian Watson than to draw. Because, again, Christian Watson looked great yesterday. He was running, he's jumping, he's making great catches. But, again, what does that mean on May 20th? I'm not sure much.
It's a great point, and it's a natural transition to the Jordan Love conversation, because I mentioned right before you jumped on with us, Jason, I view it a little bit overblown, right? Like, this isn't Aaron Rodgers. You're not dealing with a huge ego. They're going to get a deal done before whenever the opener is, September 8th, September 9th in Brazil. He's going to be their starting quarterback for the future. A deal's going to get done, and it seems like his agent is probably saying to him, hey, Jordan, let's just not comment on it because we're going to try to maximize our leverage. He didn't really have much to say on the contract negotiations, but it is the big storyline for the Packers offseason. What'd you make of the quarterback's comments yesterday?
Well, I would disrespectfully disagree with you on one point.
Disrespectfully.
And that is, yeah, that's what I was aiming for. Boy, AJ's really enjoying the show. This is great. He's so happy to have someone paying attention to him. And he must like the sound of your voice. I'm just going to play podcasts of Mr. Irrelevant, and it'll be like a calming influence on him. You may have had a breakthrough with him. Look, he did answer one question. And it wasn't mine, although my question, I thought he also did a very good job of answering, talking about the risk involved, because there is risk, right? He is on the precipice of, as I put to him, on the precipice of life-changing money, right? He's already made money. There's no doubt about it. And a lot of money, especially compared to us who live in the real world. But it's not $190 million guaranteed or whatever the number is going to end up being for him. And so there is risk. You tear your ACL and they're going to try and get you for less then, right? And so when Rob Domofsky asked him if he's comfortable playing on his current existing deal this season, Jordan's answer was, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. And I do think that while I agree with you on most of the points you made there, that he's first of all, he's not at Aaron Rodgers' level of accomplishment. He's not even at Jared Goff's level of accomplishment.
No, not even close.
At the same time, it's not just about accomplishment. It's not about ego. It's about, if you have to play hardball, are you willing to do it? And Davante Adams, for example, was not, right? Remember in going into the training camp of 2021, his own teammates were telling him he should be holding in like TJ Watt and others were. Don't go out there till you have a new deal and make them pay you like you want to be paid, like DeAndre Hopkins' contract from the Cardinals. And he said, no, I'm not giving any money back. And I admire that quality in him. And I love Devontae. We have an awesome relationship. But I still think he was a fool to do that. He took an enormous risk of playing that 21 season after what he had done in 2020 on the final year of his contract. He should have never done that. He should have made the Packers pay him. And he didn't. And while I admire that, I'm telling you, everything changed for me. Because I will admit, you know, when like Sterling Sharp held out right before the start of the season one year, when other players didn't report to camp, Javon Walker, when you were a child, would be a good example for me, because here's a guy who had 2 years remaining on his contract, had one good year, wanted more money, and then he held out, reported after all of training camp, and then tore his ACL in Detroit. which was kind of the cautionary reason of why he was worried. But everything changed for me with Nick Collins. Nick Collins skipped the offseason program after they won the Super Bowl, wanting a new contract. It worked. He got his new contract. And then he suffered a neck injury in Carolina during the 11th season. And his life is different today if he doesn't hold out. So I am always in favor of the player. So in Jordan Love's case, it's admirable that he's there, that he's willing to absorb the risk. It's admirable that he says, you know, I believe in God and I believe God's got a plan. I believe in God too, but I think sometimes God's plan sucks and it's not what you want it to be, and it can make your life harder. I've experienced that, not from an athletic standpoint, but from other aspects. So look, that's great that he feels that way. I admire that. I love the example he's setting for this team, that they've got 100% attendance, in part because he's there. But he does have to protect his interests, and his interests are maximize that life-changing money that you're on the verge of getting.
That was an awesome answer, Jason. Really good insight. My follow-up on that, though, would be, it's no secret you had a very good relationship with the last quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, during his time in Green Bay, as he was getting acclimated to becoming the starter, and he ultimately bloomed into one of the league's biggest superstars of the last decade. If you were advising Jordan Love, what would you tell him to do? Hold in and not practice until what would your advice be to Love in this situation? Because it is a complicated one.
Yeah, my advice to him, and you're right. Look, he does not have, as Mike McCarthy would say, the pelts on the wall. So I acknowledge that.
Correct.
That said, are they really going to start Sean Clifford?
No.
I mean, are they really going to do that? I like Sean Clifford as much as anybody, and they like him. I'm sorry. Here's what I'm doing if I'm Jordan Love. I'm taking part in OTAs. I'm taking part in the mandatory minicamp. And then if it's not done at the start of training camp, my arm is sore, and we need to rest my arm. Again, I'm not – let me be clear. I don't believe in lying, unlike Homer, who brags about lying to his children. I try very hard not to lie. That said, I think this is business, right? From a movie that is long before you were born. Jerry Maguire. It ain't show friends, it's show business. And he needs to make sure that he, now, could he have a life, an insurance policy to protect him? And then he can practice. I suppose that's probably true. I didn't ask him that yesterday. But all it takes is one thing. All it takes is one undrafted free agent knucklehead trying to make an impression who is coming on a blitz during 11-on-11, and he trips and falls. He doesn't hit him on purpose, but he trips and falls and rolls into his knee and he blows his ACL during a practice at Reinicke Field. Or you've got two joint practices in training camp. Yeah, I'll knock on wood too. This is like Maddie's. Maddie's got a lot of wood in here. That's good. Or it's during the joint practices with Baltimore or Denver with a guy who you can't control his behavior. So, again, I'm not.
That's a good point.
I would hope that this will be resolved before we get there. If you made me bet, I would say it will be. Meaning that we can't at least talk about the possibility of the perils and the dangers, and I don't want those to happen either. Tausch makes fun of me. I like Jordan. I've said it thousands of times.
Thousands,
in part,
yes.
Because I don't want people to think, because I was Rodgers' guy, allegedly, that I don't like Jordan or I'm cheering against him. I really like him, and I will admit, I like his girlfriend even more. She's a more colorful character. She came to Sid's volleyball team's practice. She's awesome.
Oh, cool.
He could use a little bit of her. I would like to see him come out of his shell more with us, because she definitely is well out of her shell as a professional volleyball player. But he is a good dude. I want him to succeed. I want him to stay healthy. I'm not rooting against him. But I do want him to be smart. Because if you surveyed the guys in that locker room, and Bulaga mentioned it to us today on our show about how he wants guys to get paid. Now, he also said he doesn't think Jordan Love's at the point where he should be able to hold out. He thinks he should just practice and then play the season if a deal's not done and just keep the price tag going up. I am more risk averse than that. I am more risk averse than Brian.
It's an interesting conversation to be had. I just don't think we'll get to that point, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Packers feel differently than I do on that.
No, I don't think we will either, but it would be nice to know. I mean, Brian Gutekunst told us flat out that this was not going to be a fast process. Like, he said that in March. So
Brian Gutekunst also said in February that he anticipates Aaron Jones would be the running back next year. So things change.
True.
So can you take that word for exactly what he said?
Well, I will also say this. We all thought he was going to get the fifth-year option, which in retrospect, given how Love played and given the fact that it tied their hands that they couldn't extend him before May 3rd, 2024, that was a mistake, as it turned out. Now, the reason he did it, reasoning behind it was sound. Quote, that's a lot of money to give a guy who hasn't played. That is Brian Gutekunst's direct quote. As it turned out, though, it really did hamstring them, pardon the pun, Christian Watson, because they couldn't do what they did with Rodgers in 2008, which was sign him to a six-year, $63 million extension after seven games. So now they're in this kind of no man's land of, okay, now we can sign him to an extension, but the market has exploded. He still only has 10 games of really good football. And we got, you know, Jared Goff getting $170 million guaranteed. So I think, you know, it would have been ideal. And again, Rodgers' contract, the first extension, came during an era where we didn't have the fifth-year option question. Like, it was a different world then. So they didn't have to make a decision like they did with Love last year. But ideally, you give him the fifth-year option, he plays, again, he didn't play that well in the first half of the season. So after seven games, you might not have felt the way they felt about Rodgers in 08. But then maybe by the end of the season, you're like, okay, he's the real deal. Let's extend him now. We get a discounted price. We lock him up for the next 5 years, and that is off our table. That wasn't an option. So now we are where we are. Again, I don't, you know, I know how some of our YouTube video gets chopped up. I am not saying that this will come to the point where he is holding out in training camp. I think it will get done before then too. But my job is to cover the possibilities as well. And you used a great example. I made the mistake on the day that the general manager said that Aaron Jones would be back with the Packers, that I took him at his word. That is a great example of, no matter what your intent is, sometimes things don't happen the way you claim that they're going to.
Yeah.
So we can all say the intent is to get a deal done with Jordan Love. That doesn't mean it'll happen before training camp.
Yeah, really well said, Jason. And just to clarify, right? Like, I'm not saying Goody's a liar. I just think things change, right? Like, ideas change. Josh Jacobs, I view it as an upgrade at the running back position. You and I were out irrelevant together when that news broke a couple months back. So I'm not calling Goody a liar. I'm just saying, obviously, plans can change and things can change. So I'll be fascinated to see how this plays itself out. And like I always do, I keep you longer than I promise to. Your insight is so great, Jason. Seriously, always a pleasure to chop it up with you and talk a little ins and outs of Packers here on May 22nd. Really sexy topics to dive into, but you always make it fun. I appreciate the time as always, dude. We'll do it again soon.
All right, can we get Arnold some airtime here, since he clearly wanted it. Here he is. This is AJ.
Hey Arnold, AJ and JJ, the dynamic duo here on Mr. Irrelevant. Thank you for your time, AJ. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate you both.
I appreciate you tolerating my catastrophe of an appearance. I'll talk to you guys later. Take care. Be good.
Wow, nice pun there at the end by Jason Wilde as well. Unbelievable. He's such a pro's pro. That's so good. Really good insight there on the Love stuff. I didn't intend to go. I think we went about 15 minutes strictly on Love with Jason. I didn't intend to go there, but it ended up being a really insightful and interesting conversation about, like, what should you do or what shouldn't you do or what can he do or what can't he do? Pelts on the wall was the phrase that kept coming up, a McCarthyism. It's interesting. I hadn't thought about it in some of the ways that Jason just helped me think about it. So that was, That was awesome. You missed any of that conversation, you could find it, of course, the ESPN at Madison, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels, and the full episode always of Mr. Relevant available wherever you get your audio podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand. Just search Mr. Relevant. It'll be your first result. Ryan, I want to give you the floor briefly. What did you make of Wilde on Love there? I thought, you know, he helped me think about it some ways I hadn't, right? Like, I don't know that he can really hold that. I don't know that that helps his leverage necessarily. And to go back to what we were talking about earlier with him being a good leader and a good teammate, I feel like holding out or trying to gain leverage wouldn't necessarily help his case with his teammates and the organization.
Yeah, Jason was on Mr. Relevant, Rutledge and Hamilton with us yesterday afternoon, actually, weekdays 4 to 6 here on ESPN Madison. And he said a lot of the similar things where I just feel like Jordan Love hasn't proven nearly enough to be able to hold out and really like demand that kind of contract that Jared Goff even got. I think his proposition of like a longer term contract with lower average annual value, a good amount guaranteed, though, so he gets the life changing money that everyone always talks about, but he also isn't breaking the bank the way some of these other guys recently have been. I think it makes the most sense when you really only have, what, 19 games to run off of, really?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I mean, you've got the 19 from last season, and then if you want to count the Chiefs from 2 years ago, which I wouldn't, you could. And then obviously the year before when he played a little bit in the fourth quarter against the Eagles on that Sunday night game, you could count that. But it's really 19 true full games as the starting quarterback to go off of, and really only 10 or 11 of those were really good. A couple of them were fine, and two or three of them were pretty bad. But he proved he's a good enough to be a franchise quarterback. You know the floor is much lower or much higher now than you anticipated last year. The ceiling is still a question mark, which obviously, hopefully, he can bust through whatever ceiling we have set for him. So there's your Jordan Love conversation. Very interesting stuff from Jason Wilde. Appreciate his time, as always. All right, I learned something new today. You learn something new every day. It's time now to wrap up the show as we always do with What Strofe Learned. I learned, number one, that Ryan Wollersheim is fascinated with the sports Emmys. But I didn't realize how big of a production the sports Emmys are.
I mean,
Ryan, you texted me like three times today about the sports Emmys. You're fascinated by them.
I just think there's a lot of interesting storylines this year. We got Mike Breen winning a sports Emmy while calling the double bang last night in the Celtics-Pacers game. By the way, I did a little bit of homework while Jason was on with us, and I did go back and find the six other double bangs in Mike Breen's career. The sixth one, Dante DiVincenzo hitting his game winner in round two of round one versus the Philadelphia 76ers. Then Julius Randle hucked up a three to win a regular season game against the Heat, I believe last year, since Randle was hurt all this year. Then Luka hit a step-back three-pointer game winner in round one of the COVID bubble playoffs against the Clippers. Marcus Smart had a game-winning three against what I believe was the 2022 regular season opener once and again against the Knicks. And then we had KCP sending a regular season Lakers-Rockets game to overtime. And then the first time he ever did it was for the incomparable Stephen Curry hitting a game winner in a Saturday primetime game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. So I just wanted to close the loop on that.
So we've got a nerd doing a callback on Mike Breen double bangs and talking about the interesting storylines in the sports Emmys last night. So, Ryan, I'm just actually going to give you a floor. What was the most interesting storyline to you in the sports Emmys last night?
I mean, it was clearly the fact that Greg Olsen won Best Play-by-Play Commentator only weeks after he'd been demoted for Tom Brady. We have the video and audio, if we want to play it, actually, of his, you know, acceptance speech.
Go ahead.
Crew at Fox has been just incredible. Jacob gave my speech last year. I told him that I was going to take back my speech this year if I won. And, you know, this is super cool. I don't know what the future holds. All I know is I love talking football. I love talking ball. I love studying it. I love seeing where the game is going. Wherever that takes me, whatever level it is, man, I'm more committed to the game of football now. My wife allows me to chase this every weekend after 15 years of a weird life of moving all around the country playing the game. Now I fly around the country calling a game, and we wouldn't have it any other way. So I appreciate you guys 2 years in a row. This is super cool, and I look forward to things ahead. Thank you guys so much.
He looks forward to things ahead, says Greg Olsen in the sports Emmys. Okay. He took a $7 million pay cut. Why do you at? Do you just feel bad for him?
I mean, you know that there was more he wanted to say. There was more that he would have wanted to say. If he, you know, when he gets on a podcast 3 years from now, he's going to say the real thing. This is the nerd. This is the stuff I'm nerding out about. All right, man. Like this, you know, there's acrimony.
If you book him for Mr. Irrelevant, if you could book him for Mr. Irrelevant in 2026, I would gladly take him.
2026?
I would gladly be the platform that he airs his dirty laundry on when it comes to his demotion.
There we go.
Fox for the greatest of all time, Tom Brady. But Greg Olson is a great sports commentator. Very, very worthy of winning that award. What a wacky way to wrap up the show. Big thanks to Jason Wilde. Big thanks to Ryan Wollersheim for stepping into the void that Tiny Hands left. Big thanks to Josh DiMaggio for doing a little bit of nothing as well for helping us out on the show. We're back with you Friday. Maddie Hayes, by the way, also thanks to her. She's running social media for us here on the show today. So big crew. I feel a lot more important than I actually am today here on Mr. Relevant. We're back with you Friday beginning at 12:30. We'll take Monday off, by the way, for Memorial Day. So Friday will be our last show until a week from today. But we're back with you Friday, 12:30 on the ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels. And, of course, available wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you then. Shout out to Greg Olson. Peace.